there is a subject that we sing about some in church. We don't really talk about it a whole lot. You may have never heard a whole sermon on it. Some denominations avoid the topic altogether. They'll even cut those hymns out of their hymn books. But this subject is probably more important than any other subject that we could possibly think of. It has eternal value. I am talking about the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is my topic this morning. So let's look together at the top one. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 17, says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all of your many blessings. This morning, God, we ask you to clear our hearts and minds of everything else that's going on and help us to be open to the message that you have for us today, God. And God, today, this weekend, as we honor those who shed their blood for our freedoms, to allow us to be able to freely meet together and worship you in peace, God, we especially want to honor and praise you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, to shed his precious blood for us on a hill in Judea 2,000 years ago. God, we praise you for that. We love you for that. We'll sing your praises forever, all eternity, for that, God. So use this message today to help give us a greater appreciation for what that shed blood meant, what it means to us, what it can mean to us. So teach us during this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. It's been said that the blood is the heart of the gospel. I think that's pretty good, right? The blood is the heart of the gospel. It's the message that will get you to heaven or you'll miss it. Amen?
Amen.
So first, let's take a step back and let's consider the seriousness of sin. The seriousness of sin, it is a big deal, especially if you stay in it, if you keep doing it over and over. It sets yourself up for divine chastisement. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are going to be rejected one of these days when you stand before Him in judgment. I promise you. Sin is a big deal because it has eternal consequences. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from, how much talents you have, how much money you've given to the church. Amen. None of that matters. Sin is disobedience to God, and He warns us from the very beginning of the Bible to the end that God hates sin because of what it does to its children and how it separates God and His creation from us. Sin is a destroyer. It is a divider. You name it, sin will mess it up. So there's the seriousness of sin. There's also the nature of sin. I'm going to give you four quick points on the nature of sin. First of all, sin deceives. It deceives. You wouldn't keep doing what you're doing if sin didn't deceive you. Sin says, you're okay, it's all right, you can keep doing that. God loves you. You're doing good in all these other areas. It's not a big deal to indulge in this one area of sin. Doesn't that kind of sound like sin talking in your ear? So you just keep disobeying God, thinking you're going to be the one, right? The one who sin won't ever hurt you or affect you. You're going to be the exception from the laws of God. You, my friend, are deceived. So sin deceives. Secondly, sin disappoints. You know, sin always makes big time offers, doesn't it? You do this and you'll feel fantastic. You do this and you'll get rich. If you do this, you'll get fame. If you do that, you'll finally get the respect that you deserve. And sin may temporarily satisfy you, but that's how sin works, isn't it? If it didn't provide some satisfaction, then you wouldn't do it. But in the end, sin always disappoints. Sooner or later, sin always costs more than you're willing to pay. Thirdly, sin is destructive. All you have to do is look around. Flick on the news, right? You can see just how destructive sin is. It destroys families. It destroys marriages. It destroys jobs. It destroys futures. It destroys children. It destroys nations. You name it, sin will destroy it. It even brings death. Amen? In fact, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So it's talking here about spiritual death, eternal separation from God in a literal hell, a lake of fire. So that's the wages of sin, my friend. It leads to death. So what is the remedy for sin? Well, one of the major themes of the Old Testament that we see over and over and over is this idea that the remedy of sin is the shedding of innocent blood. We see it to begin with in the Garden of Eden. You remember Adam and Eve sinned, okay? And then God showed up and they went and hid and even tried to cover their own selves with leaves. You recall the story. And then when God finds them, He says, you know what, what your feeble attempt to cover your sin won't do. He said, Adam, we're going to have to take some of these animals that you love, that you live with, that you have named, okay? And we're going to have to kill some of these animals. And we're going to have to cover you with skins because God was teaching him that it was only by the shedding of innocent blood that your sins would be covered. It's a very important concept that he was trying to put in their mind right out the gate. So every day when he woke up and he put those skins on, that was a reminder that something had to die for him to be covered. We also see it in the story of Cain and Abel. You know, God accepted Abel's blood sacrifice, but not Cain's fruit of the ground. You say, well, why is that? Well, God had already been teaching them that it was only by the shedding of innocent blood. Okay? You can't come to him with something else other than that because it won't be accepted. It's not how he had already laid down these ground rules. Right? And we see it as we read through the scriptures, the whole sacrificial system. Think of all the millions of animals that were sacrificed over thousands of years. We see it in the Passover story. You remember in Israel, setting up to the tenth plague, God told them to, through Moses, told them to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, and bring it into your home. Okay? Bring it into your home and it lives there with you for a few days. So your kids see it and are playing with it and whatnot, right? And then on the appropriate day, at a specific time, you are to kill that lamb. Well, that was teaching even the youngest in your household that there's a seriousness, okay, at play here. But then they roasted the meat and had a meal that night, and they took the blood of that lamb and they put it on the lamppost. And you remember the story, the death angel came to kill the firstborn in every house, and only those that were covered by the blood of the lamb, only those that obeyed God and grabbed on to his only provision for salvation, for safety, for their firstborn, they were the only ones who were able to live. Does God mean business? Yes, he does. We see it in the Lord's Supper. Jesus himself held up the glass of wine and said, "This is my blood that I shed for you." The shedding of innocent blood, that is the remedy for sin. So I got to thinking, how powerful is the blood of Jesus? And how do we quantify it? How do we explain it? How do we talk about it? Well, I picked seven examples from the Word of God that are examples of its power. And that's what we're going to look at. So, looking back at the first passage that we read of sin, it is the only thing that can take care of our sin. In fact, it is the only thing in the entire universe with that kind of power. Amen?
Amen.
So it has the power to redeem us. Secondly, his blood brings us back into fellowship with God. Look back to your sheet, Ephesians 2:13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So without the shed blood of Jesus, we are a long way away from God. It is the only thing in the universe powerful enough to bring us back into fellowship with our Creator. That's some power there. Thirdly, his blood makes peace with God. His blood makes peace with God. Colossians 1. 19 and 20. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." You see, sin has separated every one of us from God. And those of us who are saved have been reconciled. We've trusted in the Lord's work at Calvary. We've been reconciled, and relationship has been restored. Amen? Praise God. Reconciliation also brings people back together. It has the power to bring husbands and wives back together, even those that have been estranged or separated or divorced. It has the power to bring old friends back together or estranged family members. We've all got some family members that maybe we hadn't talked to in years because there was some kind of falling out or something. But the blood of Jesus has the power to reconcile. Or former church members. You may have had some people living in this community who may have been, maybe they used to be active members in this church, but they had some kind of a falling out. They didn't like how somebody they thought didn't speak to them one morning or whatever kind of craziness. People come up with all kind of ideas of why, well, I'm not going back to that church anymore. They're full of hypocrites. Yeah, every church is full of hypocrites.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I mean, but it certainly, the blood of Jesus certainly brings sinners to oneness in their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Nothing else in the universe comes close to having that kind of power. Amen?
Amen.
Fourthly, his blood cleanses. His blood cleanses. You know, not only does it remove the penalty of sin, it removes the pollution, the stain, right? Because sin makes us feel dirty. It makes us feel unworthy, doesn't it? But look at 1 John 1:7 on your sheet. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Nothing else has that kind of power. What can wash away my sin? What can wash away my sin? Hey, man, there is nothing else. Nothing else has that kind of power. Fifthly, His blood justifies us. His blood justifies us. Look at Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. That's one of my favorite Bible verses. While we were yet sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for me while I'm His enemy. But He did. So here we have Paul describing God's love for us, and he goes right to the price tag. What did it cost? It cost the precious blood of Jesus. The Prince of Heaven had to die for that to happen. So what does justified mean? It's one of those fancy church words, but it means declared no longer guilty. A great way to remember it is it's just if I never sin. Justified. It's just if I never sin. How can that be? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes that possible. Amen? So rejection of Christ is a rejection of the one who made justification a reality. What else has the power to render us not guilty before God Almighty? There is nothing else. That's some power, my friend. Sixthly, His blood sanctifies us. His blood sanctifies us. Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people by His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Well, sanctify is another one of those church words. It's not the kind of word we'd use on a Tuesday, right? You're not going to hear it probably unless you're in church. But sanctified means set apart, to be declared holy or being made holy. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is a process that goes on and on and on. People will say, well, what happens if I sin after being saved? Well, we do. Okay, we're still in the flesh. We still sin. Follow me here, okay? We're redeemed once when we get saved. We're reconciled once. That reconciles us to God. We're justified once, okay? But sanctification happens on and on and on. Sanctification is a continual process because we need it to be. Because we don't become sinless once we get saved. It's the component of our salvation that keeps happening. It's the process of the Holy Spirit continually washing us and making us holy. And that happens through the blood of Jesus Christ. It happens because He suffered outside the gate. Seventh evidence of the power of the blood of Jesus is His blood gives us power over the devil himself. His blood gives us power over the devil. In Revelation, it talks about Satan and as this great dragon that deceives the whole world. In the climax, in Revelation chapter 12, where it's talking about the saints overcoming, does it say that the saints overcame Him with military might? Did the saints overcome the devil with some nuclear weapons? Were they able to overcome him with Tom Cruise and some guys flying some F-18s in to bomb him back into hell? Or maybe they overcame him. Maybe the saints overcame him by sending Joel Osteen and some other feel-good preachers to talk him out of being bad. Maybe they encouraged him to be good. What do you think? You think that's how they overcame him? Or maybe you sent some of those name it and claim it preachers and they just declared victory over Satan. You think that worked? No. Let's look at the Word of God. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they," the saints, "overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the power of their testimony, what he had done in their lives." Right? "And they did not love their lives to the death." Well, there's power. There's some power. I want you to understand this morning that the devil hates the blood of Jesus, okay? Absolutely hates it. He doesn't want us to learn about the blood. He doesn't want us singing about the blood, brother. He don't want us having Sunday school lessons about the blood. He don't want preachers preaching about the blood. And there's a lot of preachers that don't ever preach about the blood of Jesus. There's a whole bunch of, a lot of them on TV. They never preach about the blood of Jesus. But folks, there is power. There's power, power, wonder-working power. Y'all sing with me. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's sing it again. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Do you believe it?
I do.
Do you believe that this morning? So the cross isn't just a story about a good man shedding some blood, okay? The cross isn't just something that we should think about at Easter time. It's something we ought to think about every day. We ought to praise Him every single day. The cross is the perfect, holy Lamb of God, the very Prince of Heaven coming and taking on Himself the weight of the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Nazis, everything you can think of bad, was laid on Christ at Calvary. Because the penalty for that sin, we couldn't pay. It was too much for us to pay. So He paid it. Folks, the blood of Jesus is incredibly, indescribably powerful. And it can and has accomplished things that nothing else in the universe can do. It has in my life. I know it has in many of your lives. Folks, the teachings of Christ won't save you. The philosophies of Christ won't save you. It's only the blood of Christ that will save you.
Amen.
So I close with this question. Are you washed in the blood this morning? Are you washed in the blood? Because you know, we're not promised another breath, another hour, another day. I plead with you, if you're not washed in the blood, we're going to give an invitation in a moment, and you have an opportunity to respond. It'll be the greatest decision that you ever make in all eternity.
Amen.
I encourage you to answer the call. The Holy Spirit is calling you. Answer the call. Are you washed in the blood? You can be today. Bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this powerful message. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible, wonderful power of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. We certainly don't deserve it. We are so unworthy. So we thank you. We praise you. You deserve all of our praise. We ask you to bless this time, commitment, dedication. And God, we know especially with a message like this that everybody needs to make a decision. Are we washed in the blood? If not, we need to be. And we need to decide to be today. We ask you to bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's number 229.